Hello there and welcome to the Empowerment Podcast. I am your host, Thobekile Kambu, and this episode of the Empowerment Through Science series will focus on off-grid living. Here we will explore the intersection of science and sustainability, and in today's episode we will embark on a journey off the grid, discovering how individuals are embracing sustainable living practices to lead more environmentally conscious lives. So firstly, we're going to try and understand what off-grid living means. So off-grid living refers to a lifestyle where individuals or communities choose to live independently from public utilities. So that means that they are not getting any electricity, water, or management of their sewage from any public entity like the municipality, but instead they generate their own power and collect and manage their own water supply and handle waste disposal on site. Off-grid living is often associated with sustainability, self-sufficiency, and a desire to minimize environmental impact. So when we speak about off-grid living, It has now come to a point where you can actually separate. If you're speaking about somebody that is living off the grid just in terms of energy, it means that person is not getting any energy or electricity from the municipality, but instead are generating their own renewable energy. And you can speak about someone just being off the grid in terms of water. So they maybe get the electricity from the municipality, but in terms of water, they manage their own water on site. So those are some of the different ways that you can differentiate. And I want us now to go into the principles of off-grid living. So the first one is self-sufficiency. So if we're speaking about off-grid living, we're speaking about we're just emphasizing self-reliance. You're reliant on yourself for everything and not on any public entity. Here, individuals aim to meet their own basic needs without depending on external resources or infrastructure. Another principle is renewable energy. Off-grid homes, I mentioned this, if we're speaking about just being off-grid in terms of electricity. So off-grid homes typically rely on renewable energy sources such as solar, wind, or hydroelectric power to generate electricity. And these sources are environmentally friendly and reduce dependence on fossil fuels. And what we mean by this is that they actually do not use electricity that is generated from coal, for example. They just use renewable energy from the sun, from the wind, or from water. And another principle is water conservation and management. Off-grid living involves collecting, storing, and managing water on site. So here you can actually be harvesting rainwater or using wells or springs and implementing water-saving techniques to ensure sustainable water supply. Sustainable agriculture as well. You'll notice that when people speak about off-grid living, they also are speaking about communities that practice sustainable agriculture where they plant their own vegetables on site and do not rely less on vegetables that are actually bought. So they implement organic gardening, permaculture, and regenerative agriculture to grow their own food and to be self-sufficient. Waste reduction and recycling as well. That's a principle that applies here, where off-grid living encourages minimizing waste generation. So you actually generate less and less waste and you recycle whatever waste that you would have generated. This helps reduce impacts on the environment as well and promotes a circular economy. And also another principle is connection with nature. Off-grid living promotes a closer connection with nature. So a good example are the people that do sustainable agriculture or farm at home. These people usually spend quite a significant amount of time outside, either in the sun or under shade, and they're actually on the ground planting into the soil. So that's connecting with nature quite a bit. And so those are some of the principles. And now we're going to go into the advantages and challenges of living off the grid, because I think this is important to understand that when you decide to live off the grid, it's not like everything is just going to be hunky-dory and roses and perfect. There are challenges as much as there are challenges, yes, as much as there are advantages. One of the main advantages is that you're energy independent. So you're independent of anyone giving you electricity. Instead, you generate your own electricity. You're not dependent on any centralized energy systems by the municipality or by Eskom, for example, in South Africa. So by generating your own renewable energy, such as solar or wind power, you are less vulnerable to power outages and fluctuations in energy prices. So you are less vulnerable to load shedding. So you find that people that have managed to install systems at their homes, that when an area is load shedding for 2 hours, for example, you'll find that they actually have electricity because they've got a renewable energy system or a solar energy system. So those people are less vulnerable to power outages. Also, with the fluctuating energy prices, you know, the tariff goes up every now and again. Eskom has just announced an increase in tariff as well. So that means that the people that are off the grid are not going to be paying these higher energy prices. So that is a great advantage for them being energy independent. Environmental sustainability. Off-grid living minimizes reliance on fossil fuels, so it reduces carbon emissions and environmental impact. So that's a great advantage to just the environment as well. Utilizing renewable energy sources and practicing sustainable living habits can contribute to conservation efforts and promote ecological balances. So it means that nature is conserved and the environment is protected. Cost savings. So while the initial setup costs for off-grid systems can be significant, in the long term, you actually save. So let's say, for example, you install a renewable energy system in the form of a solar system. The upfront capital, yes, that's going to be costly for the initial setup, but with time it means that you're not paying for electricity on a monthly basis. You actually are saving, but that also goes hand in hand with the amount of energy that you would be it means also saving energy. Just you're not just installing a solar system, but you're being aware of the amount of energy that you're actually using at home. So you do not have to pay utility bills or specifically electricity if you've got a solar system. And generating your own energy and managing resources efficiently can lead to financial savings over time. Okay, so you basically are gaining in a way. Self-sufficiency, I mentioned that as one of the principles earlier on. Off-grid living fosters self-reliance and independence. You become less dependent on external systems, on municipalities and on state-owned enterprises, for example, to actually provide you these services. And I mentioned the advantage as well is connection with nature, which is also a principle that applies when you're speaking of off-grid living. Now let's look at some of the challenges. So some of these are actually what prohibits people from going off the grid. So one of the first challenges is the initial setup costs. Establishing an off-grid lifestyle requires an upfront investment in renewable energy systems, in water management infrastructure, and sustainable living amenities. So these costs can be prohibitive for some individuals or families. So a solar system, for example, doesn't come cheap, right? So even though you might want to go off the grid in terms of energy and not be load shedded and just have a constant supply, you might be limited by this initial cost that you need to put up, the capital that you need to put up to actually install the system. Another challenge is that you've got limited access to services because you've chosen to be off the grid. It means that you're not being supplied, you know, you're not being supplied with electricity, water, and sewage disposal. So, if, for example, some people will build off-grid homes in rural areas where they will not have electricity, water, or sewage. So that is a challenge. You know, it's not like you've got a backup. It's different compared to people that are in urban areas who choose to put on a solar system but still have Eskom or the municipal power as a backup. So it does mean limited access to services. A challenge also is resource management. Off-grid living demands careful management of resources such as water, energy, and food. So you'll find that people want to go off the grid, but they have not started by reducing the amount of energy or reducing the amount of water that they actually use naturally. So balancing that supply and demand then becomes an issue. You know, with the water system, if you harvesting rainwater, you need to, you know, measure the amount of water you use to bath or to flush or whatever. Because if you just use as if you're getting an external source, then you are going to run short. So that resource management becomes quite a challenge for a lot of people. Maintenance and repairs. Off-grid systems, including solar panels, wind turbines, and water collection systems, require regular maintenance and occasional repairs. And a lot of this is from specialized expertise. And that becomes quite expensive when you need someone to come and maintain the inverter, for example, or the solar panels, you know. It's specialized expertise, excuse me, that you actually need to do this maintenance. And then the last thing is regulatory issues. Off-grid living may conflict with local regulations, as you know that different regulations apply in different places. In Cape Town, for example, here in South Africa, the people are actually able to sell excess electricity that they've generated back into the grid. But in some areas, are you even allowed to have a solar system? You know, are you even allowed to generate your own power? So those are some of the regulations that you'd need to look into, and some of the bylaws that you'll need to look into for your area to see whether you are actually allowed to pursue that kind of living. So now what we're going to do in part two is to go into, we're going to zoom into one of these three areas that I mentioned. I mentioned you can be off the grid in terms of electricity, you can be off the grid in terms of water, or off in terms of just your waste management practices or your waste management practices within your home. So now I want us to look at specifically the energy component of it, especially because of the energy crisis that we are experiencing, not just in South Africa, but globally. You know, energy leaders are trying to find innovative solutions to meet the demand that we currently have. More and more people need to be supplied with electricity, number one. Number two, we're trying to reduce our reliance on the kind of electricity that is generated from coal. So we're trying to reduce reliance on fossil fuel generated energy. So that means then we need to be innovative in trying to think of solutions that will actually meet these two requirements. But the third requirement also being just the fact that the energy needs to be affordable. You know, the energy needs to be affordable, it needs to be reliable, and it needs to be sustainable. So I want us to zoom into some sustainable energy solutions that you can apply even just at your home when you are encountering energy issues. So if you look at an energy solution that is based on solar, you basically need three components for that system. So you need firstly solar panels, and you need an inverter, or two, depending on the size of the system, and you need a set of batteries. And I'm going to explain what each one of these are and what they actually do within the system. And later after this, we're going to look at what are the steps that you would take to actually get to a point where you are implementing or installing such a system. So this is just exploring what are these three components and what do they actually do. So firstly, we'll start with solar panels. Solar panels, also known as photovoltaic panels, you will hear people saying PV panels as well. These convert sunlight into electricity through the PV effect. So what happens is that when you mount your solar panel either on the roof or on the ground, they actually collect sunlight and then they convert that into electricity. They consist of interconnected solar cells made of silicon or other semiconductor materials, which then generate direct current electricity when exposed to sunlight. Solar panels can be installed on the roof. In most cases, we do see that people install it on the roof, or they can be mounted on the ground. So you see now that a lot of big systems are referred to as solar farms, where the solar panels are actually ground mounted, or they can also be integrated into building materials. So we're seeing this a lot as well, where some windows actually are solar panels, or some walls are topped with solar panels so that those panels can actually draw sunlight. The advantages of using these include the abundant sunlight that is available in many regions. And we know that in South Africa specifically, we've got abundant sunlight. So renewable energy in the form of solar panels is a big plus here if you want to go that route. Some challenges, though, include intermittent energy production. That means that due to weather and the time of day, sometimes the solar panels obviously do not have that sunlight to draw for them to actually convert to electricity. So that sometimes does become an issue. But that can then be covered by batteries, which we will speak about just now. The second component of a solar system based on solar panels is the inverter. Inverters play a crucial role in renewable energy systems, particularly in those utilizing solar panels. And that is because the inverter is an electronic device that converts direct current that we mentioned is from the solar panels into alternating currents. So it converts DC into AC. In renewable energy systems, inverters are essential for doing this conversion generated by the solar panels. So they are essential for converting the direct current that is generated by solar panels. And they convert this into AC, which is alternating current that can be used to power household appliances. So it will be used to power your kettles, your washing machine, your iron, and any commercial equipment. Or it can be fed into the grid. So that inverter now is important. If you don't have that inverter, then it's not really possible to just use that that power directly from the solar panels. It needs to be converted. There are different kinds of converters, and we're not going to go into detail here, but they are grid-tied inverters, and these are designed to synchronize with the utility grid, so with the Eskom grid, and they are also off-grid inverters. And off-grid inverters are used in systems that are not connected to the utility grid. So they're not connected to the municipal electricity or Eskom electricity. So then it's important now to understand that you've got those two options. So you can have the Eskom electricity as your backup or not have it at all. Just be completely off. And then there are hybrid inverters. Hybrid inverters combine functionalities of grid-tied inverters and off-grid inverters, allowing for versatile operation in both grid-connected and off-grid inverters. These inverters enable energy storage integration, allowing for surplus energy generated from solar panels to be stored in batteries for later use during grid outages. So you can see now already that this hybrid inverter is probably the better option, because then if you still have Eskom as your backup, then it allows for that changeover. Whereas with the off-grid inverters, you might not necessarily be able to tap into any other source. So inverters are essential. I mentioned they are essential components of renewable energy systems, enabling the integration of solar and other renewable energy sources into the electrical grid or for off-grid applications. They facilitate the efficient conversion, I said, of DC electricity generated by renewable sources into AC. And then lastly, inverters play a key role in maximizing the performance and reliability of renewable energy systems. So an inverter is not something that is necessarily huge. You find just small inverters that can be mounted onto walls, but then you find much larger inverters that will be placed on the ground, depending on the utilization and depending on the size of it. But that is the second component now of your solar system. The third component of your solar system are batteries. So some solar systems will not necessarily have batteries if they just meant to power a building or a home during the day. So that means that you do not need storage capacity for nighttime, for when there's no sun, for example. But so batteries are essential components, particularly in off-grid. So if you are completely off the grid and you do not have Eskom power or backup, then batteries are important, and also for hybrid systems where energy storage is necessary. So the batteries then, like I said, can store excess energy that is not being used at that time, and then when the sun goes down, you then start taking from the batteries that you actually have. And it's really up to you how many batteries you want to have, but the size of the batteries must obviously be in line with the size of your inverter and the size of your panel. So all of that would be done by a specialist to ensure that alignment. So batteries generally are electrochemical devices that store electrical energy in the form of chemical energy and release it as electricity when needed. Batteries store surplus electricity generated from sources such as solar panels or wind turbines for later use. So when the sun is down or when it's raining, you can use electricity off of the batteries. Batteries play a crucial role in renewable energy systems by storing electricity that is generated. I mentioned that. And they provide energy resilience and backup power in off-grid and hybrid systems. So if you do not have Eskom as your backup and you are completely off the grid, it means that the batteries will then play a huge role in providing you power when the sun is out. They ensure a reliable electricity supply during periods of low renewable energy or during grid outages. So if the grid is completely out and you don't have access to it, it means that your batteries can provide that electricity that you need. So that was basically the second part where we looked at what components I actually make up an energy solution that that involves solar panels. And you, I wanted to speak specifically about solar panels because that is the most one of the most used solutions for homes, especially, and also for commercial spaces. A lot of commercial spaces are starting to install solar panels. You'll see that a lot of malls have got solar panels. So that means that when there's load shedding, then they still have electricity. So even at your home, solar panels would be the best solution to go. So that I wanted us to look at the different components that actually go into the system. We're now just going to look at the process that is involved with going off the grid. And our focus will continue to stick to just energy needs and going off the grid in terms of energy. So this involves several steps and considerations to ensure a smooth transition to a self-sufficient lifestyle. And one of the first things you're going to have to do is assess your energy needs. And this is related to one of the challenges that I mentioned, which speak to the management of resources, that you basically need to know how much of energy you use in the first place. So you need to calculate your current energy consumption to determine the size and capacity of the off-grid system that you'll need. And the way you can do this is by considering household appliances. So a lot of irons, for example, will show how much of a wattage the iron uses, and a lot of fridges will give that information as well. You can look at your lighting. A lot of the light bulbs are actually 5 kilowatts, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, you need to consider all of that. And then you're going to look at your electronics as well. You can easily get the amount of energy used by your laptop, the amount of energy that you use to charge your phone, and so forth. So all of that will then be used to assess your energy needs. Some people actually have systems that are big enough to include their geysers. But if you want to start off with a small system, it means that you're not necessarily going to have your geyser. You can then use a gas geyser, or even with your stove, you can then transfer to a gas stove. So, and then the second thing that you need to do is evaluate renewable resources. So you need to assess the availability of the renewable resources in your area, such as solar radiation for solar power. So if you are in South Africa, you are most likely going to benefit from a solar system because we do have a lot of sunlight, adequate sunlight actually. So what you would basically need to do at least is to assess where the solar panels would get maximum sunlight. So you don't want to use your solar panel, you don't want to put your solar panels where when the sun starts going down, that's the first area that becomes shaded. You want to find the optimal point where the sun actually stays on for much longer in that area. And then thirdly, you design your off-grid system. So you work with the renewable energy professional or engineer to design a customized off-grid system tailored to your energy needs and renewable resource availability. This may include solar panels. So you need to designing your system would mean that you need to distinguish which solar panels you need. How many do you need? 3? Do you need 6? Do you need 8? Do you need 10? Do you need 18? And then look at your batteries for the energy storage. How many batteries do you actually need as well? What size of inverter do you actually need? And then the cord that goes with the system is obviously important. And then some of those little components that will actually link back to your main electricity supply board. So that is designing your off-grid system. And then fourthly, you select and purchase the equipment. Once the system is finalized, you select and purchase the necessary equipment, including solar panels, batteries, inverters, charge controllers, and other accessories. Consider factors such as equipment quality, efficiency, and warranties. You obviously want to get equipment that is of good quality. Batteries, for example, differ in quality. You might buy batteries that you think are cheaper, but might not even last you 6 months to a year. Those batteries will already be struggling. So you need to consider all that. Consider your warranties as well. And then you need to install your off-grid system. Install the components of your off-grid system according to the design specifications and manufacturer guidelines. This will involve mounting solar panels, connecting wiring and cabling, and installing inverters and charge controllers, and then configuring the battery system. So when you're actually installing this, you need to either have an expert, or you yourself might be an expert. And then you will, in some cases, they've got these very portable solar systems now, but they don't I don't necessarily think they give a lot of power, but you're able to actually, it's a do-it-yourself, DIY. So you can actually get some of those systems. And then lastly, you implement energy efficient measures. And that means that you prioritize energy efficiency measures to reduce your overall energy consumption. We started with saying you need to estimate the amount of energy that you actually use in your home. But once your system is intact, you need to try to use energy optimally or most efficiently so that you don't use up more than you need. And this can include upgrading your appliances to make them energy efficient, using LED lighting, for example, and just naturally adopting energy saving habits. That goes a long way. And it will distinguish from your solar system lasting you till 12 o'clock midnight to it actually lasting you till the following morning. So that is quite important. And then another thing to consider is to monitor and maintain your off-grid system. So this means that you regularly monitor the performance of your system, including if it's generating and is still generating enough energy, and if your batteries are still keeping or storing the energy appropriately, and all of that. So you conduct routine maintenance, and you clean solar panels if required, you test batteries when required, and that means that your system will last you longer. This part is very, very important, because you don't want to not maintain your system and then all of a sudden, you know, your system just fails you, you know. So continued maintenance is quite important. And then just generally stay informed about advances in the renewable energy technologies, energy efficiency measures, and off-grid living practices. And if you can, attend workshops or events or webinars where people living or pursuing similar lifestyles actually present and speak about their experiences. So that was basically the process to actually go off the grid in terms of energy. And I've mentioned all of those different points. I think if you are able to afford it, this is quite a great option, because, like I said, it means that you are self-sufficient and you are energy independent, completely not reliant on anybody to provide you energy. But what you need to consider is that going off the grid requires careful planning, careful investment, and commitment. But it offers the opportunity for energy independence, environmental sustainability, and a closer connection with nature. I wanted us to look at some some off-grid homes and infrastructure, just some case studies in South Africa. And one of them is the Boschendal Farm Estates. This is located in the Western Cape and is a prime example of sustainable living here in South Africa. The estate features off-grid homes powered by a combination of solar energy and micro hydro systems. And residents actually have access to organic farming, water conservation initiatives, and eco-friendly amenities. So that's great. And another one is an eco village. These now are really popping up all over, hey? An eco village at Ikhaya Loxolo in Eastern Cape. This is situated near Stutterheim and is an intentional community dedicated to sustainable living and social development. And another example is Harmonious Off-Grid Houses in the Western Cape. Here they are pioneering residential project designed to operate entirely off the grid. The house utilizes solar panels for electricity generation, rainwater harvesting for water supply, and composting toilets for waste management. It showcases innovative off-grid technologies and sustainable building practices tailored to the local climate and environmental conditions. One last example is in the Greyton Transition Town in Western Cape as well. And this is a community-led initiative focused on transitioning to a more sustainable way of life. The town has implemented various off-grid and eco-friendly initiatives, including community solar projects, water conservation measures, and waste reduction programs. And residents also participate in permaculture gardening, renewable energy workshops that we spoke about. So they keep themselves educated in terms of off-grid living. So these case studies highlight the potential for off-grid living in South Africa. And a lot of these that I've mentioned may be communities, but remember that just you yourself as a household can implement some of these practices. So we are going to conclude now and speak about what are some of the concepts of off-grid living that are valuable lessons for us as humans that we can actually apply to our daily life. So I think one of the main things that we can learn or you just grow in becoming is just self-sufficient and resilient. I think that we've seen that grow within people that are living off-grid. They are very self-sufficient, very reliant. Off-grid living teaches us the importance of being self-sufficient. By generating our own resources and adopting sustainable practices, we become less reliant on external systems. We also become good stewards of nature and the environment, you know. By reducing our reliance on fossil fuels and minimizing waste and embracing renewable energy sources, we contribute to the preservation of natural ecosystems. Very important. And you just automatically, I think, become innovative. Off-grid living encourages thinking outside the box, because sometimes you find that your solar system is down and then you need to it's the weather is bad and the batteries have used up all the energy, and you need to be innovative on how you're just gonna continue with your day. So it fosters a lot of innovation, and it also fosters community and collaboration. Off-grid living fosters a sense of community. As individuals, we come together and share knowledge, resources, and experiences, and we support each other, you know. So that is quite a good quality as well. Adaptability and flexibility, and that goes a lot with self-sufficiency and resilience as well. You learn to adjust, you learn to change. If conditions are changing and the environment is changing, you also change. You embrace simplicity. You know, you minimize consumption and you prioritize needs over wants. So that is quite important as well. So as we wrap up, we've just looked at a few components of off-grid living. We've looked at what off-grid living is, and we've looked at some of the advantages and challenges. We've looked at the different components of an energy solution that is based on solar panels, and we've also looked at some of the process that is involved in a household or an individual going off the grid. And then we've just looked at just some of the lessons that we can learn from being off the grid, and some of the what is fostered within you, you know, when you try to live off the grid. We've looked at some examples as well of communities that are currently living off the grid. So I'd like to, at this point, encourage you to explore sustainable living options and embrace small changes to reduce your environmental footprint. And you know, a very simple change is that even if you're not off the grid, you can actually get solar lights that you charge out in the sun. And instead of using your actual electricity from the grid, you put on those solar lights. That is a simple way of just doing things more sustainably. So thank you for joining us on this episode of Empowerment Through Science, and be sure to subscribe for more inspiring stories and practical tips on living sustainably and just theories around science. Until next time, remember that together we can create a greener and more sustainable future for all. Thank you so much and goodbye.
Empowerment Podcast. Inspire, equip, and empower.